I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. It is Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. We are at the Community Center Sierra Room, 851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, CAMPO, is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify CAMPO staff in writing at 3505 Bud Eye Way, Carson City, Nevada 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Pinninger at 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. For this meeting, the request would have been needed in by March 7th, 12 p.m. For more information or copies of the supporting material regarding any items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Pinninger, Transportation Manager, at 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting materials is posted on the CAMPO website at www.carson.org/agendas, or is available upon request at 3505 Bud Eye Way. Roll call and determination of quorum.
Chairperson Fierro.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Erb.
Here.
Member Bonkowski.
Here.
Member Kroll. Member Kimbrough.
Here.
Member Smolensky.
Here.
Member Zantino.
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Item number two is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the CAMPO board may approach the podium and speak on any matter relevant to or within the authority of CAMPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future CAMPO meeting. No action will be taken upon a matter raised under this agenda, under this item of the agenda, until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody in the audience today that would like to come for public comment? Seeing none, we will move on. To item number three, approval of minutes. Approval of minutes of December 9th, 2015.
I move to approve the minutes of December 9th, 2015 with a correction to the approval date on the signature page.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded with correction. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item number four is public meeting items. 4A, information presentation on staff's progress on the 2040 regional transportation plan. This is information only. Staff summary, since October, staff has coordinated with local and regional partners, conducted an online survey to identify concerns, priorities, worked with a consultant to develop and run a transportation demand model, mapped bike facilities, reviewed crash data and safety measures, and has drafted goals and objectives for the RTP. A second public planning meeting to share progress and collect public comment was held on February 25th at the Carson City Community Center. Right, Patrick?
Well, sure. I'm really just going to turn this over to Dirk in a moment. Before okay. I do that, I want to apologize for being a moment late. We're doing job interviews for a key staff position that we're hoping to fill again. I just want to introduce Mr. Dan Yu, who is our new deputy district attorney, serving CAMPO and the RTC as well, and came to us from the state LCB, right? And if you want to say anything else, feel free. Otherwise,
I think you're
good. All right, good to go. And now I'll just introduce, obviously we know who Dirk is already, but to introduce the topic and not Dirk, one of the main thrusts of our unified planning work program for the MPO this year was the update of the regional transportation plan. Previously it went out to 2035. We were going out to 2040. This is something being undertaken by all the MPOs in the state. And also the Department of Transportation is also going to be updating their long-range plan. We're all working together on this and dealing with the new federal requirements. And this is something we do every several years. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dirk.
The last update we did was in October. And something to add to Patrick's comments was that, like he said, we do this as part of our unified planning work program. But we do that about every 4 years. And something to note is that the next plan might come a little bit sooner. And the reason why that plan might come sooner is because we have some major changes taking place. For example, Carson Street and the extension of the highway, as well as construction of USA Parkway. So that might be, those are some major reasons why you might see this before you a little bit sooner than 4 years. So what I want to talk with you today about is the survey that we did in October, some of the results that we got from our travel demand model, some of the bike facilities that we mapped, some of the crash data that we put together, and our proposed goals and objectives. So back in October, we did about 11 question a short survey with 11 questions. We started October and closed in December. We had about 153 responses, which is not bad. We did some new advertising. We did the traditional, which is Nevada Appeal. We did it on a Sunday so that we got into the record curator and got down to Douglas. Some new stuff was the Carson Now online website. We put a link in there straight to our survey. We did some advertising on Facebook. And then we also did our Carson City website and the CAMPO website. Some of the highlights from the survey, 72% of the folks that filled out the survey said, hey, we're concerned with cracks and potholes. 64 said that we're concerned with the condition or the poor condition of our sidewalks. 76 said that we're concerned with driver behavior. And then in question 9, which is a little not a yes or no answer. The question said, all right, with the transportation funds that you have, how would you allocate money over about 8 or so different categories? And the category that got the biggest allocation of money at 34% was to repair existing roads. So we thought that was interesting. Also, the folks that did fill out the survey, many of them provided us with a contact. So as we move forward with this and we produce a draft, we can send that draft out to them and let them know what's going on with the process. So next is a travel demand model, and we've been working with our consultants, and this is a key tool to forecast travel patterns. So what we did with the consultant is we kind of worked with them to confirm land use assumptions. We worked with them to get the latest counts from NDOT to help validate the model. And then we revised the transportation project list, which I'll go into in a moment. So this is a key output that we get from the model, and it tells you the level of service for certain segments of the transportation network. And so what you see on the screen is a bunch of lines. The green one is A through C, and the green says, hey, this area of the network is acceptable. D is yellow, and what that shows you is, hey, well, this D is actually acceptable in Carson City, but it says, hey, we got some congestion issues. And then E and the F is not acceptable. And the level of service really tells you that we have some major congestion on this roadway or at this intersection. And so this gives us areas of concern and allows us to kind of narrow our eyesight into the network. And so this is a list of transportation projects. And with every regional transportation plan, we put together a list of transportation projects. And on the screen, you have two parts, your top and the bottom. And the top is your fiscally constrained projects. Pretty much what we're saying is these are the projects that we are financially feasible. This is what we can afford given our, you know, past revenue and what to expect. And so we take these projects and we put them into the model, and it helps us see what's going to happen in the future. One thing also to note is that these projects are mainly capacity building projects, and as we move forward, what we need to do is strike that balance of capacity building and also maintenance to the network. So that's something to consider as we move forward.
Hey, Dirk, oh, I just had one thing I just want to point out on that list is that the list of projects that we have in there is actually reduced from the last time we did the regional transportation plan. And that was specifically because of updated information about how much money we have, how much money we have going forward, and also additional information that we have developed over the last couple of years about the very substantial needs to simply maintain our system. For example, there's a project in Carson City, just as an example, Roop Street. We've done a lot of Roop Street to the north of where the courthouse is and to the south, but in that section there, that has yet to be reconstructed there to a different width. But projects like that would compete against the simple projects of we need to maintain and build our roads. So this list of projects, just want to note that this is actually reduced from the last time we did this plan because of those other needs that are not a quarter projects, just basic maintenance.
This is the level of service output from the model, and this is showing you the year 2025, and so it assumes growth on the network. And as you can see, you start seeing some problems with congestion south of the highway into Douglas County. You start seeing some E and Fs east of the highway into Dayton, towards the Dayton area. And then in the town, you see some areas of congestion around College Parkway and William Street. But what you also might want to note is that this is with the improvements to Carson Street, with the street, the road diets. And so the model is still projecting acceptable levels of service in that area, which is good. So this exhibit is 2040. So again, it just kind of forecasts population growth and more cars on the network. And the areas that were getting bad get worse. And so this helps us see the areas of concern and kind of helps us balance kind of the funding that we have.
The other thing I mentioned previously that, you know, the state also does other plans and studies. They've done, you know, as it pertains to 395 going south and 50 going east. They do conduct studies on these as well. Those are state-owned roads. And actually, as part of the draft freight plan, the state is looking into a future corridor study for US 50 all the way from I-580 in Carson City all the way out to USA Parkway, And I just point that out as that, you know, these are always living documents. We know that the transportation changes, the world's going to change for us when the freeway opens and when the USA Parkway opens. And we will continue to look at these. Obviously, a lot will happen between now and 2040.
Thank you, Patrick. And to add on to that is that the project list that we established today is not the project list that we want to have in 2040. So as we move forward and more issues arise, we can revise that list to address our needs. So this is a new output. This is, we call it travel times, but what it does is it models regional and local peak hours commute. And so this is different than level of service. Level of service kind of looks at a specific road segment, part of the network, and says this area is congested. But what this area does, it kind of takes 2 points and it says it runs the model and it tells you how much time it will take to commute or to travel. So for example, on the screen we have 3, which is in Dayton, and then we have number 4 on the screen, which takes you to the highway. So this allows us to get a baseline travel time for that particular distance and that commute. And so when we use this, it allows us to look at the overall performance of a corridor, which is different than the level of service. So as we move forward with the next with future plans, we can see how what happens to that number. And when you pair this with the level of service, it allows us to say, hey, we might have a segment of the road that's performing at D or even E, but it's really only affecting our travel time by a minute or two. So it kind of helps us judge how bad a problem might be. So this slide just kind of allows me to update you on the bike plan. We've been working on putting together a map that shows existing and proposed bike facilities in the Campo area. So we've incorporated both Douglas County's bike plan that was approved a few years ago, and then Lyon County's bike plan, which was in draft form about a month or two ago, and so I don't know where it is right now, but we've incorporated their comments and type of facilities that they want to see in their county into our plan. We've worked with state representation staff on this project, and we've also worked with a bike and ped working group in Carson City. Oh, I'm going to back up. And what these maps allow us to do is perform a gap analysis. And so as projects come forward, we can kind of say, hey, this is a good project for a bike lane, or it's not because there's no facilities nearby. And it allows us to improve that connectivity through the area. So this is a crash map. This is, we call it a density map. And we've got data. We got data. Great data from NDOT, and they've done a great job compiling that data. And so we have data from 2006 to today, and we've put it into a GIS format to say, hey, these are where a lot of the crashes are happening. So your red is your areas of high density crashes, and then orange and yellow is lower density. So again, this is a tool to allow us to see where are some problems in the network, where are some safety issues. But a caveat with this and with the maps I'm going to show you coming up is that since this data is from 2006, we need to recognize that there's been changes, significant changes to the network, such as the extension of the freeway. And so what we might see is some of these problem areas shifting. But what we can do is also pare down the data and say, hey, how does the data look like for the, you know, these 3 years or these 5 years, and allow us to see where some of the problems are after the new infrastructure came into play.
Dirk, has this crash density map been correlated with causation? So,
no. This is just purely a density map. There's data within this that might allow you to say, is speed a problem? Is a certain turning movement a problem? And so this data has quite a bit of information within it. And so as we see these problem areas, we can zoom in and drill down and see what might be the cause of that. So this is a map showing serious injury crashes, again from 2006 to 2015, and this is the north part of Campo. Serious injury crashes is a definition, and the definition is on the bottom, but it's incapacitating injury. So the person's kind of knocked out and on his way to the hospital. And so this, you can't see that well because of the yellow, unfortunately. But you can see the yellow dots, and this is for vehicles only. And so this is the southern portion of Campo. And what this allows us to do is, again, see some of the problem areas. And we can drill down into that data and see what are the problems and what we can do to fix it. This is a zoom in of the same thing. This is Carson City Center. And you can see some corridor crashes going on. You can see some areas where there's multiple crashes. And I'll be happy to pass. If you want, I'm happy to email this out because the yellow is not showing up that good on the screen. So now this exhibit shows you fatal and injury crashes between 2006 and 2015 that involve a bicycle and pedestrian. So what's interesting about this is that you really see some activity along some of the US 50 corridor and the Carson Street corridor. The circle is a person, so that's a pedestrian, and the square is a bicycle. This is southern Campo area. You see some in Johnson Lane area, Indian Hills. And Indian Hills didn't have any, so that's why you don't see them. So that's a good thing. So this map is a fatal crash map. And this is just one example. We have about 10 different maps showing all the fatals in the Campo area. But to summarize, since 2006, there are 20 crashes. 15 were vehicle. 5 were pedestrian, so we didn't have any bicycle crashes that resulted in the fatal. 19 of the 20 were in Carson City, 0 in Douglas, and 1 in Lyon. And a lot of this information will allow us, it supports our efforts as we go after funding for safety improvements. So this helps us support just the efforts, and as you put in grant applications or whatnot, it kind of gives you the data to support it. So these are the goals. In your packet, there's a smaller packet that shows the goals, objectives, and performance measures that we're proposing. The way we came to these 5 goals is that we worked off our old regional transportation plan, and we attempted to create consistency between the two plans. But also with the new transportation regulations, MAP 21 and the most recent one, FAST Act, there's federal goals in there, and so we've used those to help create our goals and to be consistent with them, with their goals. So additionally, I don't have it on the screen, but it's in your packet. There's objectives and then performance measures, and you will begin to see more performance measures into the transportation plans, and this is coming down from the new transportation bills, MAP 21, and then continued over into FAST. And what they're trying to do is measure success of federal investment. So this is where we've worked really hard with the state and the other MPOs to create consistency, so that as we are kind of applying the new federal regulations, we're all applying it in the same manner, and it allows us to compare across the state, apples to apples, since we have the same performance measures. And another thing that kind of drove how we came to the performance measures was, what data do we have available to us? Because we wanted to make sure that all the data that we were getting was available to other MPOs, and that the data was consistent and that we could expect it to be there in the future and allow us to compare year to year. So lastly, in end of February on the 25th, we had a public planning meeting, and we just displayed all the stuff that we shared with you today, the bike maps, crash data, travel demand model results. We shared the goals and the objectives, and then we spoke with the public, and we collected their comments, and they gave us contact information. So in moving forward, what's next is to take all this information, take all this data, put it together in a plan, and we plan to have a draft plan before you in May. And so what we plan on doing is taking that draft plan and sending it out to all the folks that expressed an interest in the regional transportation plan, and then also advertising that draft plan in to Carson Now, or providing links to that to the plan, so that we get it out there and we can still get comments from folks on the plan. So that's all I had to share with you, and I'm available for any questions. And, Dan was a big help on all of it, so he might be able to help me with some questions if there are any questions on the model, because he worked really closely with the consultant on that, and as well as the bike and ped. So but it's been a big group effort, so I think we're all available for questions.
All right, is there any questions for staff?
Dirk, on one of the slides you were talking about commute times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we already have data as to where we're at right now and where we hope to get?
We have. This is the first model that we did a travel time with. So we that data is new now. So more years we get of running that model, the more data we have and can see what's happening.
Dirk, can you flip back to the traffic congestion map and the...
You want
to keep going all the way back to the project list. Okay, go back to the project list. Okay, so William Street corridor from Carson Street to Solomon, reduce one lane per direction. Now go to the next map. Doesn't it show that corridor is red on the 2025 map?
Yeah. Yes, Member Pankowski. So we wanted to get that in there because this is one of the things that obviously, as you know, the city's looking at doing these corridor improvements. And I'm sure you're aware, too, the recommendations that came out of the kind of the preliminary design with the EPA group. This is something to keep in mind, is this is kind of a macro level model. So as we get closer to actually doing more fine tuning the design on that, we will look at the traffic aspects as well. And, you know, not knowing exactly when this is going to take place as well, as Dirk mentioned before, you know, we're anticipating a lot of just the general traffic flow around the city to kind of shift around with the completion of the freeway as well as the downtown improvements. So it kind of looks, you know, it stands out right now, but I think when we get a little further down the road and we can get some more fine design, we'll definitely look at more of just that corridor level kind of micro simulation. You know, there's different models to kind of focus in on more of the specifics of that corridor, and so we'll evaluate it at that time.
Right, and I think that you're right that the traffic patterns will change, and southbound Carson Street traffic will turn onto William Street and then over to Stewart Street, which is going to change that whole pattern through there.
I have a question and then a comment. On these maps, the title says daily segment level of service, but is this actually peak hour? And the analysis is done on the peak hour or the daily traffic?
So we do run it for peak as well. You know, that's a really good question. Our consultants kind of provided the exhibits, but
okay.
That's one I could follow up on, because
I would be surprised
that it's actually peak and not daily. Because
I would just be surprised to see that much red if it's daily.
So no, you're right. I agree with you there. So I think that's just an error in the title.
Okay. And then just for the board's understanding in terms of they mentioned working with the state and the other MPOs on performance measures. And actually my understanding from talking to other states is we're one of the first states to start agreeing on consistent performance measures with all the different entities, which is great. And the level of service is sort of eventually going away in favor of travel time reliability just in general. I mean, the entities sort of have that decision on whether or not to still use that measure. But in like in the larger metropolitan areas, level of service is always going to be bad, but it's really about how reliable is that trip. So that's, I think, part of why they're starting to look at that travel time. So if your travel time is the same every day, even if there's a little bit of a delay, generally people are accepting of that. It's when some days it's 20 minutes and other days it's 40 minutes. There's a lot of loss of productivity. So anyway, that's just kind of the trend nationally is to kind of get away from level of service and more to a reliability measure. It might be a little different in Carson City, but. And then I just want to thank the staff for working with us and the other MPOs in terms of all the RTPs are kind of on the same timeline now. Carson's ahead of everybody else in terms of this update. We're going to be rolling in all of the MPO RTPs into our unified statewide long-range plan. So we'll be looking at similar measures. And as I mentioned, there might be some, after we do that effort, there might be some updates for their next RTP based on our changing of priorities for the state as well. So we're all working together is the lesson there.
Is there any further questions? Go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. One is with the interest in maintaining the roadways, if you really start doing that, do a lot of these projects disappear that for any enhancements or changes? If you really get to maintenance only and fixing what you got?
Well, some of the projects that are on that list, I mean, for example, the corridor projects that are on there, those projects like the current downtown project that just started construction this week, those are not just, they're not a facelift project. They are the actual maintenance. They're the reconstruction of a road because the pavement needs it. So, we don't have a lot of projects in there. Why do we need to add lanes to this freeway kind of projects? Some of those ones that are up there are all, and I think we have like Curry Street reconstruction is up there as well. While it's up there, it's a significant project. That's also, frankly, a basic maintenance project as well. But you're absolutely right. As I mentioned previously, I wanted to highlight there's a huge need to maintain our roads.
So maybe we title those reconstruction of or maintenance projects versus
right.
capital projects or anything.
Well, yeah.
So it's an easy understanding of that.
Yeah, it does all, blur together, because while Carson Street will look very different after the reconstruction, it is a reconstruction of a road that needs to be reconstructed for maintenance purposes.
And then when these roads are being done, they visit the bicycle ped issues at the same time, I assume. So that marriage is an automatic now, essentially. So if you say you're going to work on, I can't read font size that far away from me, but at the same time they do any of these, they're addressing any ped or bike issues at the same time, right? Is that?
Yes.
Could that be kind of added in there saying that's done? But
well, yeah, it's really going to be added in. We can certainly note that. We have for example, Carson City has a complete streets policy, and it doesn't guarantee that, there will be bike lanes on every
right.
road. However, they will be considered in every project. And then, of course, in addition to, we also have Americans with Disabilities Act requirements. So, for example, we just rebuilt a portion of Division Street from King to Fifth, and like over 40% of the cost of that road reconstruction was actually the sidewalks. So obviously that's much better now for pedestrians. So you're absolutely right. That's all part of the equation.
It all kind of disappears on that list, though, kind of how that, with all the data that they have showing where there's most concerns, that might come higher up on the list because it's a combination of reconstruction and ped and bike safety and all those things that come. And it's like there's no box that says that anywhere on there. So that point, and then one other question was, I assumed in this plan they might put desire lines. Is that something that isn't done in this plan, that maybe you have a road from 50 on the north side of town for shorter distances, future roadways that may take people a lot less travel time if that's where we're moving? Or is this project not put desire lines in?
Well, I think there the table below on the screen there shows, you know, unconstrained, you know, illustrative projects. Some of those, I don't know if they go as far as what you're talking about, but you know, I think we do have some connections in there that are maybe smaller scale of, you know, they don't exist today, and it would be good to have a connection there, which shorten travel time, but not something that we expect to be funded without a change in funding formulas.
Well, it's just such a long-term plan to 2040.
Right.
Maybe nobody's going to be driving cars by 2040 anyway. They'll just be sit in the passenger side and get a ride. So might all change anyway.
They'll still need roads.
If I may, too, just add a couple comments. Member Kimbrough, speaking to the inclusion of the bike and ped facilities, we made sure to go back and check the maps for the bike element part of the plan to make sure that we captured some of these projects as well, showing the connectivity. For example, I'll just throw one out. Even in the illustrative plan, there's like a connector between, Arrowhead Drive and College Parkway. So we made sure to put that on our bike map as well. If that proposed facility were to be built, we would have, you know, all the address all modes with that project as well. So.
So, and I've got a question on the commute times. When that data is collected, are they going with the flow of traffic or abiding by the posted speed limits?
They are the model. The segment links in the model are all coded to have what's the actual posted speed limit. So, and if anything, it probably underestimates speeds because, as you know, people tend to speed faster than the speed limit. So yes, they'd be going by the posted speed limit in the travel time estimates.
All right, any further questions? Okay, thank you very much. And we'll move on. Item number 5 is internal communications and administrative matters. These are non-action items. So any future agenda items, discussion, and overview of matters which may be included on future agendas. Any such?
Yes, sir. For the CAMPO meeting, we have three items for sure that we're looking at, and they're all frankly related. Two of them relate to agreements with the Nevada Department of Transportation regarding Unified Plan Work Program and planning funds that we use to fund that. And then the third item is going to be the draft of the next year's Unified Planning Work Program. And I'll just tell you that when we bring that, we usually do an annual work program. Working with the state, we're actually planning on bringing you a two-year work program, which actually will give us flexibility in scheduling projects within a two-year. We're still going to have to stick to our annual budget, but it gives flexibility. We look forward to bringing that to you. And if you'll humor me, I just want to mention that because we don't have an RTC meeting tonight, for our members at RTC, we expect to have two agreements related to the FLAP grant for Sierra Vista Lane before the RTC at the next meeting. The award of a sidewalk project funded with Housing and Urban Development, Community Development Block Grant funds and FTA funds near Empire Elementary School. And pending the opening of bids, we hope to have the award of new jack buses as well for RTC.
All right, thank you. Item number 6 is board comments. I'll start on my right. So.
I was debating whether or not to bring this up, but I want to thank, again, staff and Patrick for continuing. No, this is good news. for continuing to bring up the issue of a certain funding source that is automatically sub-allocated to the larger MPOs, the TMAs. And I know Dirk did a bunch of work reaching out to other states and seeing how common it is for smaller MPOs to get a sub-allocation of that funding source. It used to be STP, now it's STPBG. And so I am happy to report we're working on a a memo to Mr. Pittenger to dedicate that money to start sub-allocating a portion of that funding directly to CAMPO. So that it's not a huge amount of money, but it is something in addition to help out in this area. So I just wanted to make a note of that, and I'm sure once we get you that memo, you can share with the board members. And
of course, and it's very much appreciated that NDOT is working with us on this.
And that's all I have.
Okay, brings us to item number 7, which is public comment. So anybody want to do public comment today? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is adjournment for possible action. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
All right, we are adjourned. And Ori stated there is no RTC meeting tonight. Thank you.